Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and read and discuss the Word of Life for September. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A number of events will be the focus on Sunday, September 8th at the Schoenstatt Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. A formal celebration of the Blessed Mother's birthday will include a rosary at 3 p.m., followed by a procession of flowers and Holy Mass at 3:30. A dinner reception will conclude the activities. Feel free to bring flowers to offer to our Blessed Mother, and be sure to invite your friends as well. For more information, call the Schoenstatt office at 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
Barbara, how are you this morning?
I'm fine.
First day of September.
First day of September.
Hard to believe.
You would think it would be the beginning of fall, but not yet. We have another month.
Right. We have to wait.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned this morning, our gospel is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host, who invited both of you, may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have been repaid. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as you were reading this, I see several different messages, but just to start at the very beginning, there's a Sabbath dinner at the home of a prominent Pharisee, and the guests are watching Jesus, but Jesus in turn is also watching where their guests are seating themselves and kind of making a mental note of all of that.
Yes, I kind of have a feeling he may not only be observing them, watching them, but he feels. Because, you know, in a situation like that where everyone's trying to get to the higher place, there's a tension.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you go to a place and it's not like a welcoming environment. It's an environment of tension. Who's better? Who knows who? You know, the jockeying for all this attention in these places. So I think it could be, he certainly was watching, but I think as the man and God that he was, he could also sense with a spiritual sense that this was kind of an awkward environment, an unwelcoming environment. So that's, you know, I think they're watching him, but he also is not only watching them, but also sensing what's going on.
And of course, then he turns it into a lesson for all of us that, as you said, we've all been in different situations that we can kind of take to heart ourselves.
Right. I think for this Sunday, there's also a reading from the book of Sirach, which is a book of wisdom, which I think really sets the tone as we read the three readings. Of course, you know, at Mass, we read the three readings from the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures from a letter of St. Paul or one of the pastoral letters, and then also the Gospel. So it's kind of a setup progression and to show how the Gospel really sums up all of these things. But it's interesting this Sunday from the book of Sirach, the very first line is, "My child, conduct your affairs with humility." If there's anything that this gospel is trying to focus on is humility, not embarrassment, not put down, not even putting yourself down,
right,
but really the virtue of humility. And I think in our world today that is, I could describe it, but I think we're all tired of, we all know, I think this is the thing, that we all know how bad it is.
Right.
This gospel, the movement of peoples in this guest room is what we see in our society today. Mm-hmm. Everyone with their position, everyone with their idea, everyone with their agenda, everyone with their anger, with their whatever. I say everyone, I mean, you know, in general.
Right.
But it's creating an environment in this country, in our church too, that is exactly what Jesus experienced there. Who is going to take the last place? Who is going to be the one that comes in and seeks the lowest place and then is asked to come higher? We all do it. I mean, we look for the greatest name in the speakers. We look for who knows who and what knows what. And it's the environment that we have created. And I'm saying this pretty strongly this morning, but mm-hmm. it's something I really feel, that this pride and exaltation of the self or of others is what in many ways is at the root of part of the root of, there are many roots in a tree, but
right.
part of the roots in our problem today. I would go back to the letter, reading from Sirach, "My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts." That's exactly what Jesus says. Go to the lower position, be invited up, and you will be esteemed by your companions, not because you exalted yourself, as he says in the next line, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, will be brought down, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And exalted in what? Exalted in the truth. You know, when we try to exalt ourselves, when we try to put ourselves on a higher plane than anybody else, "I know more than you do," whatever it is, and we all know, we're going to be brought down because that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exalting myself is a way of not living the truth of who I am as a child of God. I'm no greater than anyone else. I've been asked to do certain things, but I'm no greater than the other person. That's why Jesus says, look at the guest list here.
Right.
Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, because they can't do anything to repay you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means it puts you, me, the person, at the same level as everybody else. When we go after, the big names or whatever, however you want to say it, we may be looking for recognition. And that's what will be, in the end, our downfall.
And many times favors and something
exactly.
else in return. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I right.
Yeah, but then
right.
It gets,
but I mean, that's
sure,
what can happen.
It gets into, I was going to try not to get into too much, but, you know, then the illegal stuff comes up. But, I mean, look at just turn the television on now and look at the news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have to use names. Look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can look at it and laugh at it. We can criticize it. We can whatever we want to do, but I think we need to learn lessons from these things about ourselves, about our world, our church, our society. What values are we promoting in our society, in our culture today? What values? When you see someone that does what we have seen happen to young people, young women, and the result of that, I mean, what values are we promoting and tolerating? Tolerating, and yet the poor, those who are looking for something better, maybe not being given the right chance that they need. So I would say that the lesson today is a bucket of humility that needs to be thrown upon us. So if I could just read the letter of Sirach, or the book of Sirach, those few verses there, I think it would say a lot to us about this lesson that Jesus mm-hmm. is showing us at the table today, at the guest, as a guest. The book of Sirach says, "My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches the flaming fire, and alms atones for sins." Mm-hmm. So, in other words, don't build yourself up to somebody you're not, because you're going to fall.
Right.
Don't create some kind of an image that everybody can poke holes in. Be who you are. That's what humility is.
Mm-hmm.
Humility is just to be who you are and not to live false values, false images, running after the latest, whether it be in fashion, whether it be in entertainment. We're always looking for the latest, but we miss the values. I recently have been doing a lot of work with my family history, mainly because after my mother died, it was thrown in my lap. You know, I don't have anything to do. I just, no children, no family. I can have a lot of time on my hands.
I can relate, Bishop.
So it's become my new hobby. People ask what my hobby is. Now I can tell you. But, you know, it goes back one side of the family to Norway, and just read, and there's letters. I can't believe the number of letters that were written. But the letters just showing a humble reality. You know, lack of food, jobs, and a great grandfather and grandmother coming over, and what they went through, and then the letters from their brothers and sisters saying, "I wish you were still here. Mother is, you know, dying, or you know, so and so died, and we just wish you were here." The sacrifices that we make, but I think the lesson there for me has been really humility, which is not mm-hmm. any overt sign, but it's just they were who they were. They came with nothing, and I did know my great-grandfather until about 11 years old when he died. But, you know, just people of value, which right. is not monetary, but culturally, spiritually, religiously, just people who were who they are in front of God. And so I think that's really what Jesus is asking us today to reconsider, and I would ask all of us, myself included, I'll put myself on the line, just reconsider this call of Jesus through this humble scene mm-hmm. at a dinner. Be who you are, and don't seek the front row. Start in the back.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bishop, for that. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for September. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Evangelization and Catechesis presents the Rite of Blessings and Faith Educators Workshop, entitled The Family, the First School of Discipleship. The date is Saturday, September 14th at St. Peter, Prince of Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road in Cal Allen. Guest presenter will be Douglas Bushman, STL of the Augustine Institute. This seminar is for parish faith educators and anyone wanting to learn more about the role of family and family catechesis in the life of the church. The modest registration fee includes a continental breakfast, lunch, and seminar materials. To register, visit diocesecc.org/faith-educators-workshop or call Nellie Cerna at 361-882-6191. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, once again, we are at the first Sunday of September, and we have another wonderful Word of Life, which builds on the gospel that we were reading this morning. this time is from Thessalonians. We haven't had one from Thessalonians that
right.
I recall.
Right. It comes from the letter of St. Paul, one of the earliest letters that we have in the Scripture, in the New Testament. So it's from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, first that letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. Encourage one another and build up each other. St. Paul was writing to the Christian community he founded in Thessalonica. He was not able to visit there anymore, having had to escape from the city due to the serious difficulties and persecution. However, through his letters, he continued to accompany the people with love, and indeed he praised them for their constancy and perseverance in faith. They had become exemplary witnesses. Paul knew that the community was asking very deep and existential questions. What happens to us after we die? If the Lord is coming back soon, how can we prepare ourselves adequately for his final coming? Paul did not answer them with norms they should follow, but made a profession of faith instead. Jesus gave his life out of love for all humanity and is risen from the dead, thus opening the path to life for all people. To prepare for his return, Paul advised them to put the gospel into practice every day, to continue working honestly and build a sense of family in the community. Again, encourage one another and build up each other. Paul had experienced this firsthand. The gospel makes the seed of goodness that God has placed in the human heart sprout and grow. This is a seed of hope, which grows through our personal daily contact with God's love and bears fruit in mutual love. It spurs us to resist the bad seeds of individualism and indifference that cause isolation and conflict, and instead to share one another's burdens and encourage each other. This is a simple word of life that we can all understand and put into practice, yet it can revolutionize our personal and social relationships. It is a valuable piece of advice that helps us rediscover the fundamental truth of being brothers and sisters, which underlies many cultures. This is expressed by the principle of Ubuntu in Bantu philosophy. Quote, I am what I am because of who we all are. This thought guided the great Methodist leader Nelson Mandela in his political work in South Africa. He said, Ubuntu doesn't mean that people should not think of themselves, but rather they should ask, do I want to help the community around me? End quote. Mandela's consistent and courageous work brought about historic change in his country and a great step forward in civilization. Encourage one another and build each other up. How can we live this word of life? In a commentary on the September 2004 Word of Life, Kiara Lubick wrote, by trying to grow in mutual love in our families, in our work environment, in our communities, church organizations, parishes, and so on, this word of life asks us to have an ever greater charity that knows how to overcome the lack of generosity and the various barriers that derive from the subtle selfishness within us all. It is enough to think of particular aspects of love, such as tolerance, understanding, mutual acceptance, patience, willingness to serve, mercy toward the real and presumed shortcomings of our neighbor, sharing material goods, etc., in order to discover many opportunities to put the word of life into practice. Clearly, then, if there is an atmosphere of mutual love in our community, its warmth will inevitably spread to others. Even those who do not yet know the Christian life will be attracted, and almost without realizing it, they will easily become involved and feel part of this family. Encourage one another and build each other up. This spirit is what led a group of doctors, nurses, psychologists, and other medical specialists to help disadvantaged people in their city of Palermo in Italy. Quote, "We are a group of doctors and health workers from various churches," they said. "The words of the gospel urge us to see all people as our brothers and sisters, especially those who are ill but have no access to adequate treatment. Our patients include people who have very serious illnesses, as well as some who are addicted to gambling and the internet. We see these people in a professional capacity in our workplaces, thus enhancing the services of the clinics already present in the area. To maintain contact, we share the various needs we have created on a WhatsApp group and Facebook page and a network of email addresses. Although it started recently, our group is already very active. We work a great deal with the immigrant population, in particular the Gehennian population of Palermo, which is a large and joyful group of people. Our contact with them enables us to experience the joy of helping one another as brothers and sisters who are all children of the one Father."
Another one where we can certainly learn a lot about how we can improve this month and going forward. In the very first part of the reading, Bishop, I was underlining again about how St. Paul advised them to continue working honestly and build a sense of family in the community. And we were talking this morning, you were saying how, you know, what's going on, you know, in the world and our and nationally, but yet still we can find so many good works happening in our community, people helping one another.
Sure,
and that's what I got from this.
Sure. You know? Yeah, and I think we need to see that as hope. I mean, those are signs of hope, and that what we as Christians, but all religions, want is the best out of everyone.
Right.
And, you know, when I read this, even in our work environment and our family, we're all quick to criticize. We're quick to look for fault. We're quick to look for what makes me uncomfortable. But if we were quicker to encourage one another and to build each other up, I know there's certain philosophies, positive philosophies and things like this that encourage that. But I think these are deep spiritual roots, Christian roots, divine revelation brings these to us to encourage one another and to build each other up. Because once we do that, people have a different sense of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always psychologize everything, but when people have a certain way of doing things, you can say, well, you can go back to their family, you can go back to their environment and how they are because of that. They've been conditioned. But we can also recondition each other. We can recondition ourselves to encourage one another, to see what's positive in the others, how we can work together. And that's why I think Jesus also put into the mix fraternal correction. You know, if we really build up a relationship that's strong enough, I can also say to that person, instead of just throwing darts at them and, you know, sarcasms here and there, which tear them down, but there's a certain moment when I've encouraged them, build them up, that I can also sit down and say, hey, look, let's look at this, not because it bothers me or that it's something that affects me, but this is the way I want to encourage you to do better. And so it's not a criticism, it's a help. And I think that's the kind of approach with relationships. You know, I was thinking actually just this morning that the deepest problem, one of the deepest problems and one of those roots in our society that's missing is the ability to build up relationships, because our society has become an I society, a me society. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. We don't even realize it. We're so into the way that we all live that if we look at our actions, how much of it is focused on me, my wants, my needs. And I was talking to a group of bishops this morning on the Word of Life, actually, from last month, but how much we're surrounded by fear in the sense that you've got to save money, you've got to hold on, because you have to take care of yourself, even in your old age and even you know, in the hospital. You got to do for yourself. So we anticipate problems. And that can also be a part of creating bad relationships among people. So this whole idea of what is a relationship which Jesus rooted in love. And what is love? It's the absence of this selfishness. It's this self-giving. So we have a long way to go to turn around a culture, not by fighting it, but by, I think as St. Paul says here, and as it says at the beginning, he couldn't go to Ephesus anymore because of the persecution, but he sent letters encouraging them, don't give up, see what's positive in the others, work together, build each other up, work together for the good of others. And so, as you say, we've got so much to build on in our own community that there are so many wonderful things that are happening, and we can build even more. So, especially to affect families and young people, it's greatly needed.
Absolutely. So this Word of Life will be posted on the website so that our listeners can read it and reflect on it for the month. So Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
God of might and giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.